Last week we talked about the transforming power of God's Spirit, that He takes us and He makes us into what He has created us to be by His Spirit. For any man or woman who puts their hope and their confidence in Jesus Christ as the risen Savior, acknowledging that by His death, He paid for your sins and my sins, understanding that there are not enough good works that I can do to erase the debt that comes from my sin. But Jesus, by His final act of death, took care of sin once and for all of mankind, for anyone who would be willing to put their hope, their trust, and their confidence in Him, acknowledging that He died, but more importantly, that God raised Him from the dead. He says that when you do that, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean, Jesus is Lord? Is that He is creator of the universe, Lord. That He is the maker, He is the giver, and He is the sustainer of life. He is Lord. That everything is put together. It was created for His purposes. He is Lord. That He sits high on the throne. Why? Because He is Lord. You are acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. What? The Son of God, who was fully man, but also fully God. He is Lord. That when He was raised from the dead, God took Him, exalted Him, and seated Him at His right hand. Why? Because He is Lord. And so when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, meaning that if you were to go to the tomb in which He was placed, what you would discover and what you would expect to find is that it is empty. Why? Because He's not dead. He is alive. When you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible declares that you will be saved. He says, for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Saved from what? First, you're going to be saved from hell. Amen. Because that, you know, eternal life talks about we are going to live forever. And eternal life, it actually exists for all of mankind. When we finish our time here on earth, we're going somewhere else. And when you put your hope and faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, what you're doing is making sure that you made reservations in the right place and not the wrong one. You made reservations in the place where Jesus is, where God is, so that you will be in His presence and not outside of His presence. And so He says for you and me that we're going to be with Him, that we're going to be resting with Him, that we're going to be enjoying life with Him because we put our hope in Him. So I'm first of all saved from hell. I reserve my place in heaven where God has His throne. I reserve my place in heaven where Jesus has His throne. I reserve my place where He is and where He has prepared for me. But then I'm saved from all the hell that comes my way while I'm living on earth. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's good news, because what I've discovered is that it seems like it keeps coming and coming and coming. You come out of one battle just to go into another battle. You come out of one experience just to go into another experience. And when you think you've overcome, you discover that the enemy does not stop. He keeps on coming. But thanks be to God, He says for every man or woman who is in Christ Jesus that you are an overcomer. You are a victor. That even though the pressures may come, you don't lose. You win. You will not be defeated. And so you're saved from every attack of the enemy. You're saved from the purposes of the enemy. And you are saved unto God to be his instrument and to be his vessel. So he takes what you were before Christ. He transforms you by the power of his spirit that he placed in you. Means that when you and I put our hope in Jesus, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you and me. Takes that old nature that we had that once controlled us. By his Spirit, he energizes a new nature in us so that we can walk according to his will, according to his way, according to who he has made us to be, people that are to bring glory and honor to his name. We are transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But as you and I know, it doesn't manifest instantly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I've been changed. But I may still look the same.
Yeah.
Right. And but I've got to walk out my transformation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And it is by the power of the Spirit of God who lives in me as I walk in obedience to his instruction, as I bathe myself in prayer, by having fellowship with him, that I am transformed and the new me begins to emerge.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. It is where my frown, you know that thing that's turned upside down, changes to a smile.
Yes.
And all the time, what I used to be angry about doesn't hold me hostage anymore.
Yeah.
And you begin to wonder what happened to that individual, because you used to see me and my face was tore up. So bad that I've got wrinkles all in my forehead.
Yeah.
But now, because he's changed me from the inside out, I can begin to smile.
Yeah.
Allow those muscles that were simply being used in my forehead now to be used around my mouth. They're being developed so that now his joy is everlasting. He transforms me, he changes me, so that my tongue is no longer used to cut you down.
All right.
Now it's used to build you up. Well, I learned how to say by the power of the Spirit of God, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building others up.
Yeah.
It may come to my mind, but then I quickly ask, is this going to build the individual up? And if the Spirit of God says, now you know it's not, then my job is to yield in obedience to him and be quiet.
Yes.
Just because it comes to your mind doesn't mean you have to say it. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm being transformed. He's changing me by the power of his Spirit as I yield in obedience to his instruction and as I fellowship with him through prayer and bathe myself in his presence. So the Spirit of God transforms and he changes us so that you and I learn to walk then in the power and under the influence of his Spirit. Today I want to talk about the energizing power of the Spirit of God. His energizing power. The word energize means to give energy to. The idea of to rouse into activity. Or it is the thinking of supplying you with energy, filling you up so that you have adequate energy. That's good news, because I know some of us are depleted of energy. I need you to know that the Spirit of God can energize you and give you energy. Because he is the source of life. It is to make alive that which appears to be dead so that it can be useful and used for his intended purposes. To energize. There's a story in the book of Acts that I want us to look at that is familiar to many, but helps us to understand the energizing power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, who lives in me, who's available to us. When we allow him to operate freely in our lives, when we don't allow the hindrances of this world to hold back our ability to let him do what he wants to do. In Acts chapter 3, story is told about the apostle Peter and John as they were on their way to the temple one day for prayer. As they were walking into the temple, there was a man there who had been crippled from birth. And someone would take him to the temple, and they would set him at the gate that was called Beautiful. And while he was sitting at the gate, he would be there asking for help. You've seen them sometimes as you drive through the city. Men or women who may be at the traffic light. They may have a sign that says, any little help will do. Sometimes they get elaborate, but you get the idea that they are standing there saying that they have a need. They're asking you to help. Well, this man was standing at the gate, and he was simply asking for help. Alms for the poor. Can you make a contribution to my cause? I'm crippled, and I cannot walk. I don't have a job. I don't have anywhere to go and make a living on my own. But out of your kindness, will you help me? I always commend the man because he was at the right place. If anybody is going to help you, it ought to be those folks who are going to the temple, right, to give thanks unto the Lord, those who are praying. You know how it is. You got the same attitude. Church folk, right? You know how it is when we don't respond the way you think we ought to respond. You know the first thing that comes out of a person, I thought you was a Christian. Because you have in your mind what I'm supposed to be doing according to your understanding. Right. So you know how it is. There's an expectation that Christians or church folk ought to be different. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you that that's a proper expectation? Church folk ought to be different. You ought not go into a place and worship and sing songs unto the Lord, read the word of God, pray to God, and leave out the same. If you do, something is wrong.
Right.
Don't get offended with it, but the problem ain't with the place where you sing it and worship it. The problem is with the recipient.
Yes.
Because if you're not changed, if you're not transformed, don't be blaming it on somebody. Don't be saying that preacher can't preach. Why? Because it is the work of the Spirit of God that will take a broke down preacher and yes. give him some truth for you if you come hungry and ready.
Yes.
Don't be talking about that choir can't say. Because if you come with the expectation of you yourself worshiping and praising God, you're not really going to hear all the notes that they might miss.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be lifting up your voice and saying unto the Lord that you ain't got time to get caught up when they just missed a note. See, the problem ain't with the choir. The problem ain't with the praise team. The problem ain't with the preacher. The problem becomes no offense. But you and I know that the Spirit of God is still effective and still works. But if you're not willing to receive it, there will be no change. There will be no change. There must be a willingness to receive it. There must be a willingness of you to put down your guard and stop fighting. Don't sit there saying everything I say, you got a response to it in your mind. But what about this? But what about that? Well, you can keep doing that, but what about this and what about that? And what will happen is that you will miss out on what God has for you.
Yes.
You will miss out on that. So while church folk ought to be different, while there ought to be a change, that means that you've got to come with the expectation that you've come to receive, and you've got to make yourself available unto God to allow him to rearrange the way you think. Amen?
Amen.
Allow him to reprioritize your world so that you become more concerned about lifting him up than lifting yourself up. Amen?
Yes.
So this crippled man, he is at the temple. The gate called beautiful, he's begging, alms for the poor. Peter and John, as they arrive there, the man sees them and he's just kind of, he's in his zone doing what he does, not even looking at them. He's just wanting someone to help him. And this man happens to get their attention because they stop. Peter then says to the man, look at us. Peter wanted his attention. Look at us. He asked him, look at us. Then when Peter had the man's attention, Peter made a proclamation that I want to take you to in verse number 6 of Acts chapter 3. I want you to read this when you get home. Man, I want you to read this a little bit later. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. This is what Peter says. He says, silver or gold, I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by his right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts. I got to stop because the brother went into the temple courts. He didn't get his blessing and then going about his business. Amen. Amen. That's worth noting. I mean, there's a lot here worth noting, but I couldn't help but talk about that because, you know, God shows up in a person's experience. They've been in need. God shows up, and the first thing they want to do is return back to the junk that got them in the situation in the first place instead of going to the one and celebrating and praising him. But I applaud again this man because he was in the right place at the right time. He's at the temple, at the gate, asking for help from the people of God. And then when God responds to him in an unexpected way, he jumps up and goes to the temple with them. Oh, if only we had people who were willing to go to the temple. Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Don't be offended by this. Amen? Don't be offended by this. But you know, we just went through a season of having virtual experiences. Because it really wasn't safe for folks to commune together.
Right.
And in the process of having virtual experiences, it made some people lazy instead of hungry.
Lazy.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I understand that there are those moments and those times where you know, you say, okay, I won't be able to make it into the company of God's people, but that'll not become the norm.
Amen. Amen. All right.
That should be the exception. And then the opportunity when you and I are able to come together, as Hebrews talks about, where it says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. You know what? We ought to be knocking the door down.
Amen.
Can I just be honest that we ought to be going ahead and going to bed a little bit early
Amen.
On Saturday night
Amen.
With the expectation that I'm coming to worship on Sunday morning? We ought to be preparing with the idea that God has been so good to me
Yes.
that I am going to make it out to his house so that I then can be in fellowship with his people, lift up my voice in praise,
Yes.
and expect him But unfortunately, right now, we're in the process of where we got to pray some people out of laziness.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We got to pray that there be a spirit of God that is released upon individuals and they look forward to the opportunity of coming together and worshiping together. But we got to pray for those who are sick that they be healed.
Amen.
We got to pray that they be in good health. Amen. Amen. So that when they are healed and in good health, they are able to come together, get energized, and then go forth and do the work of the kingdom.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I love that this man, when he got up, jumped up, walked, he did not go back the other way, but he went into the temple, and it says that he was praising. That he was praising God.
Yeah.
Then when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So you have a man who has been crippled from birth, so pushed into a place of where he is having to ask for help. Peter and John, who have been filled with the Spirit of the living God, because on the day of Pentecost, remember, the Spirit came to indwell God's people. They are now energized by His Spirit, moving forth in the anointing and carrying forth the power of God to do a work. And so when they arrive at the temple on this day, this man then becomes the recipient of their faith and the recipient of their trust in God. For they boldly say to him, if we had money, we would probably give it to you, but that ain't what you need. Silver and gold we don't have, but we got what you need. Because we can give you silver and gold and you will be right back here tomorrow doing the same thing. But what we're going to offer to you is going to change your life. It's going to revolutionize your life. In fact, what we are going to offer you is going to take your dead legs and energize them to life. That's what the Spirit of God does for you and me. He takes what was dead and he energizes us so that we might live. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he does. You and I get to a place of where we come to understand that it's not by strength, it's not by might, but it's by his Spirit. He says, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He says that he may have gifted you with all kinds of gifts and talents, but it is by his Spirit that he makes you great. And you and I have got to learn to understand that it's not the hard work that we do, it's the Spirit of the living God who does the work for us as we partner with him. Peter and John did one thing. They offered to the man Jesus Christ. Obviously, the man knew about the name of Jesus. He was no stranger to who the name of Jesus was. The text doesn't indicate that this was his first time being at the temple. And so, as you know, Jesus had a habit when he was in Jerusalem of going to the temple. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus went to the temple and he got upset that they had turned the temple into a marketplace. And while he was upset, he went through and he turned over tables that they were using to exchange money. And he whipped the animals that they were using for exchange for sacrifice. And he said to them, don't you know that this place, my Father's house, is to be a place of prayer and not a marketplace? No doubt this man had heard about this Jesus who went in and turned things upside down. He had heard about this man Jesus who, when folks who had blind eyes encountered Jesus, they left Jesus seeing if they had faith to be obedient to what he said do. You remember the one man Jesus put some mud on his eyes and then told him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's got to be obedient to what Jesus has said in order to receive what Jesus has to offer. The man goes to the pool, washes his eyes, and all of a sudden he can see. Why? Because Jesus makes a difference. Amen. And if Jesus is not making a difference in your life, can I just be bold enough to say that the problem ain't with Jesus? of my Jesus. Because the Jesus I talk about, his name ain't Jesus. And then the Jesus that I talk about, he is the living Son of God who came from heaven, walked among men, who was sinless in his being and his doing, without error, without sin, perfect in every way. And what I have discovered is when you invite him into your heart and surrender yourself to him, he'll make a difference. He will change you from the inside out, right where you are. He doesn't have to worry about moving you to some other place. You know how it is. We always think we got to move somewhere to experience change. You ain't got to move nowhere to experience change. The same God that's over there is right here. If you just surrender to him and allow him to do what he wants to do in your experience. But if you fight him, if you kick him and scream, Every time he's trying to take you, you got your heels dug in. But he's not going to keep pulling. He's going to leave you sit there. And then when you are ready, and when you call out to him, he'll come back and get you. That's what I love about it. He'll come back and get you. And when he comes to get you, his expectation is not to leave you as you were. Amen? Don't come to Jesus thinking you're going to stay the same. I'll accept Jesus as long as they ain't got to make no changes. Wait a minute, you got a problem. The reason you need Jesus is you need change. You messed up. Amen? We messed up. And we need Jesus to help us to be who we were called to be. Amen?
Amen.
And so to think that I can come to him without making change is unrealistic. He is willing. Change us and to transform us. Amen. This man that Peter and John confront, that they talk to, they simply say to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, whoa, this man running through his data bank, who Jesus is, doesn't rebel, doesn't fight back, but simply responds to what they're saying. And I love what they do because Peter says, Peter reaches out and he helps him up with his right hand. It's not to just say to him, walk, and then step back and say, now what you gonna do? It means Peter had an expectation that what he proclaimed was gonna happen.
Wow.
Right? The man who doubts should not expect anything from God. If you doubt, you are double-minded. You shouldn't, he said, you shouldn't expect anything. He says, instead though, the person who has faith, who can stand upon God's word, who can make a proclamation and stand there, not wavering back and forth, but with the expectation that what you have declared will come to pass, he says, you're going to see some great things happen. And as he is making you and me whole, as he is transforming you and me, as he is making us into all that he has called us to be, he is then going to use us to be transforming agents in the lives of others. Because we understand that what he has done for me, he's willing to do for somebody else. Why? Because there's nothing special about me. He extended mercy and grace to me, and the same mercy and grace he extended to me, he's willing to extend to somebody else. And I just want to be one who takes the grace of God to others so that they can experience the same thing that I've experienced. But if I'm not experiencing anything, I don't want to take anything. Amen? Do you know that sometimes trouble comes your way so that you can experience God? I know this ain't popular, forgive me. Sometimes trouble comes your way so that you can experience God. Do you know that there's actually no growth without trouble? Did you know that? We were talking earlier, just celebrating the moms and the fact that they surrendered their bodies for 9 months so that a transformation could take place. As that baby was developing, they didn't look the same. Hourglass figures start changing. You may have been 36, 24, 36 at one time. Uh-oh. Something starts to happen Because new life is preparing to come.
Yes.
And in the preparation for that new life, you're going through some trouble.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of the trouble is, you know what? You can't hold food down anymore. You eat everything you ate. Yeah, it comes right back. And you realize that that old statement they used to make about morning sickness really is true. It's not morning sickness. You're going through trouble. You're going through change because new life is being prepared. The trouble that you're willing to endure is going to bring forth a new creation. For we understand that children are a gift from God.
Amen.
Wait a minute, that's a gift. Why I got to go through all of this from a gift? Yeah. Sometimes trouble comes so that you can experience God's power in the middle of the trouble. It's only then that you discover that he is who he says he is and can do what he said he can do. You and I walk by faith, we get to discover that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you can ever ask, think, or imagine. This man believed what Peter said to him. Peter took his hand. He didn't resist, but he cooperated. And when he cooperated, the Spirit of God energized his legs. Because the Spirit comes to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. When Peter declared in the name of Jesus, up, the Spirit said, wait a minute. I got one that's operating by faith, calling upon the name of Jesus. Let me show up, because I don't want him to be ashamed. I don't want him to be disappointed. I don't want him to come up bankrupt. Let me show up. Spirit comes, and suddenly when the man responds positively to what Peter has said, his legs, which were dead, are now energized and they are made alive. It says his ankles became strong and he was able to stand up, so much so that he wasn't just standing, but it says he starts jumping. He was walking and jumping and praising God, because when what was dead is made alive, there is a demonstration of the act that it is now alive. He is now living. And that's what the Spirit of God does for you and for me. Amen? All of us have appliances in our homes. We have blenders. We have coffee makers. We have toasters and washers and dryers. We have microwaves and ovens operating on a source of energy. Most of these appliances operate on electrical power. Amen? And they've been designed to carry out their individual function. Amen?
Amen.
When I put my bread in the toaster, my expectation is that when the bread comes out of the toaster, you know how you push the little thing down and it pops up, my expectation is that my bread is going to be toasted. Amen?
Amen.
I don't put my bread in the dishwasher. I don't expecting my bread to come out toasted out of the dishwasher. I know that sounds crazy. I know it's extreme. Amen? But the dishwasher was designed for what? Washing dishes. The toaster was designed for what? Toasting bread. Amen? The microwave is designed for what? Heating your food. And cooking my popcorn for me. Amen? But each one has its individual purpose and function, right? But all of them happen to be plugged into the same source of energy. The appliance that is dead without being plugged into that source of energy, when I plug it into that source of energy, then becomes useful to do what it was created to do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
parts are there. They're functioning. But until it's plugged in, it won't do what it was designed to do. Amen? When I plug it in, suddenly the source that is there energizes the appliance to do what it was designed to do. Did you see the man when the Spirit of God came upon him? The Spirit of God took and energized his dead legs and enabled them to do what they were designed to do. His dead legs were intended to hold him up, help him stand, help him walk, help him run, help him jump. And when the Spirit of God energized him, all of a sudden, he had energy to do what he had been designed to do. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you this, that your encounter with Jesus Christ changes everything. But your faith and your belief in him is just the beginning. Because he created you. You are his workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are God's workmanship, created to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. But you can't do that good work until you know Jesus and until the source of life is flowing through you. And the moment that you give your heart to Jesus, the moment that you surrender your life to him, he fills you with his Spirit, and then he starts to transform you and energize you so that you can do the work that he called you to do, what he created you to do. So you got to proclaim the truth. When you're feeling bad about who you are and where you are, you got to proclaim the truth. I am the workmanship of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When stuff ain't working together the way you thought it was supposed to work together, you got to proclaim the truth. All things do work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purposes. Yes. Amen? Amen. When you're giving your best and you seem like you're not making progress, you got to understand this, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You got to proclaim the truth. What's happening? As you're proclaiming the truth, you're plugging in to the source of life.
Yes.
As you declare truth about who you are, about how God created you, about what God wants to do with you, all of a sudden, you're plugging in. And now, what you were designed to do will begin to be manifest because you are placing your hope and your trust in him. So when things are not working the way you thought they should have worked, go back and apply the word of God. Because the Spirit takes the word of God and causes that word to become alive in your life. And even though the enemy might be pressing up against you, trying to snuff out your experience, the power of God that lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. Which means that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. That's the truth. Oh, I might be losing, but this is just the fifth round, baby. This is just the fifth round. This ain't over. And when the bell rings for the next round, I get to go over and I get some coaching. And I get a pep talk that reminds me of the training that I've been doing in the secret place of the Most High God, that reminds me that I got help that I can't even see.
Yeah.
It tells me to get back in the ring and keep fighting. If you got to do a rope-a-dope, go ahead and do a rope-a-dope. But whatever you do, don't quit. Get back in there and keep fighting. Because if you keep fighting, help is on the way.
Yes.
Help is on the way. Yes. I'm going to help you see the right time to throw that punch.
Yes.
And it's going to have so much power because you got the power of heaven behind you that it's going to knock the enemy out. Yes. All you got to do is keep fighting, keep pressing, because you win.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, I tell you, the Spirit of God comes not only to transform us, but he comes to energize us, to take us away from our dead works that we might live. But the only way he's willing to do that is if you're walking in obedience, if you're obeying with him in prayer, and if you are trusting, leaning, and depending upon him and him alone. you're willing to say, I still believe he can do it.
Yeah.
I still believe he can do it. Doesn't matter what the doctor's report is, I still believe he can do it. Why? Because he's God. He's never lost a battle. There's nothing too hard for him. Because he is able. He is able to do it. Amen.